Kicks and Picks podcast is back. It is Coach Steve back with you after a little over a month, I guess, off the show. Newborn at home here. That's why we're running a little bit late tonight, too. If you're someone who's tuning in live, you know, we usually kick about 8:30. Nick is traveling for work this week, so just Scott and I. So I guess I made it back just in time to fill in. Not
Lots.
the, yeah, I was
I was
gonna
gonna
go
say a
ahead,
lot has
Scott.
changed, Coach. I mean, the last time you were on the pod, you know, Lazio was sitting above Roma on the table. Roma was looking promising, but didn't know if it was going to last. And here's Roma making a push for Champions League, sitting well above Lazio at this point. Obviously,
No,
a big
after
match.
last weekend, Lazio is back up by two.
Oh.
Because they were level. They were level. Roma was up on tiebreaker, and then Roma drew. Lazio got a surprise win against Atalanta. So
Oh, that's
not
right.
up on them right now, but after this weekend, they could be. We'll see.
Oh, but big match either way. And funny, you know, Nick and I are laughing about it last week, but not having you guys both on the pod with so much to play for across both of your clubs has kind of left us a little lacking. So Nick not being here, it's very apropos because I feel like Lazio and Roma are going to dominate the headlines this weekend, given the both England and Italy.
Yeah, it's disappointing that we're both not at the same time, especially with the Derby this weekend. It's a big one, biggest Derby in a while that I can remember because Champions League is somewhat in the balance for the two clubs. We'll see. I mean, there's other clubs involved too. Two of them play each other head to head as well this week in Bologna and Atalanta. We'll talk about them. You know, Roma got a result against Juve last week, but one, you know, a draw, not a win, but you know, kept the unbeaten streak alive at eight. So I feel pretty good still. Look, the way Roma started the season. If they even finish top five, I think that's an accomplishment. But just the fact that I'm able to somewhat get my hopes up for a run at the top four is at least makes the end of the season exciting for me. When earlier the season it was like, well, can't wait for this season to be over at some point. And I'm curious to see how Roma performs overall to close out against a very tough schedule, but without European football. The last got to be 4 years now. They've made deep European runs in the Europa League and you know Conference League. And that has certainly affected them in the league with because of you know depth issues and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see if they can navigate this gauntlet of a schedule that they have to close out the season, maintaining form close to what they've been in over the last couple months now.
Yeah. I mean, we'll save it for the end because, like I said, I think
Yeah.
that might be the big one. But I mean, maybe we kick things off. We got a little bit of Champions League action this
Yeah.
weekend or that this weekend, this week. Couple eyebrow-raising results, maybe is the best way to describe it. You know, I don't want to call anything dead and dusted right now,
Yeah.
but you know, maybe if you're Barcelona, you're feeling pretty good about having your tie dead and dusted. I think they smoked Dortmund 4-0 today. Dortmund, we know, likes to score and can score, but I think that's a bit of a hefty one to turn over.
Yeah, I think four is just too many. You know, if they had kept it to like two at the Camp Nou, then maybe they had a chance at home to, you know, in front of their home fans, in front of the yellow wall to maybe make a surprise. This Dortmund side, I mean, the fact that they're in the quarterfinals this year with the way they're performing domestically was a bit of a surprise for me. You know, I was surprised they even got past Sporting last round, honestly, because of their domestic form. I mean, they're scuffling like middle of the table, which is going to be weird not having them in Champions League next year because as long as I can recall, at least over the last decade, it's always been Bayern and Dortmund in the Champions League and with a couple other teams from Germany. So that aspect's interesting. This was kind of their last chance to keep those Champions League hopes alive for next season would be to win this tournament. I think they're done and dusted. I think that's the only one we can say is truly done and dusted. But the other team that's going to be feeling really good about themselves is Arsenal, right? I mean, that was yesterday. We had that draw bet breaker token on DraftKings, the two of us. And when I saw Real Madrid at plus 255 or whatever it was, I'm like, that's a no-brainer, right? It's Real Madrid in the Champions League. And it was just, I mean, I know they didn't score till the second half, but I was just tracking the game because I was at work. And then I heard the goals. I have Sirius in the car and Sirius broadcast the Champions League stuff. And I heard the first Declan Rice goal. And then I got out of the car at home just as I was getting home. And I go to check the text with you and Nick. And they're like, you're like, he did it again. I heard him lining up for it. I'm like, there's no way he's going to score another free kick. I'm just going to head inside. You know, the little ones are waiting for me. And he did it again. And they were two world-class free kicks. I mean, you can't take anything away from Declan Rice there. They were Beckham-esque, as I saw posted. Like they were lovely free kicks.
And they had to be, because Courtois was having a great game. He was doing really well, keeping Real Madrid in it. I mean, I think the only reason why it was scoreless at halftime was because Courtois had a couple good saves. And I think even right before the first or maybe second goal, he had like a triple save to really just like...
Yes, I heard that. I heard that one on the radio where it was like, he made two and then there was one clear off the line or something. It was
crazy. I mean, the scoreline is not really fluky based off of what we saw in the 90 minutes. You know, Real Madrid, we always talk like Champions League, they tend to show up. You know, whether their form in domestic league is good or bad, they're always going to be a consistent one. And I think when Nick and I were talking in the previous round, you know, we gave out PSG at plus 1600 after the first game against Liverpool, you know, and in Paris. And we said that was a good pick. We said Real Madrid at that point was probably decent because I think they were somewhere around like plus 700 or so. But now it's like, you know, I don't know. It's never say never with Madrid. You know, Ancelotti can, you know, turn miracles, I'm sure. But it's a really tough defeat to concede three. I know you get to go home. Liverpool obviously have famously turned around a 3-0 deficit at home in a similar stage of Champions League. But Barcelona. That's the bigger one in my mind. Yeah. But it's just defeating because this wasn't even necessarily like Arsenal's strongest lineup. You know, we talked about Nick and I talked about last weekend.
Right?
You know, they're picking up lots of injuries on the back line. Obviously, Gabriel is going to be out for the season, getting surgery on his hamstring. You still have, you know, Mikel Merino starting as your nine, right? When he's just a midfielder by trade. It's just not a side that Real Madrid should be struggling with, much less being down 3-0. So they're gonna have to force it. You know, they're gonna have to be, you know, very aggressive right off the jump in the second leg. And I think that kind of opens them up. You know, it's one of those games where, like, I could, you know, speaking firsthand, when Liverpool were playing against Barcelona, you knew that if you conceded a goal there, it was all but done and dusted.
Yeah.
So it's going to be one of those games where, you know, they're not going to have Camavinga picked up a really stupid second yellow for time wasting or not time wasting, but for whatever in the 94th minute. So they're not going to have him. Not that they're short on midfield talent, but, you know, he's one of the midfielders that does a good job, I think, of holding the game, controlling the tempo and being kind of a guy that can maybe rescue you if you get caught up, you know, playing a little too far forward. So it's going to be challenging for them. I'm not going to say it's dead yet, but, you know, you're walking a fine line. You got to overturn three goals. You really can't concede one.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult for them because Arsenal, like from what we've seen in the Premier League, they defend pretty well. They don't get into too many shootouts, right? I think Arteta's going to have them set up to do that. And I think then you got to watch guys like Saka on the break. They'll try to hit you because they know if they get one goal, if it gets to four, or if
it's over.
Real Madrid even Real scores first, but Arsenal hits second, they're still going to need another three. Like that becomes very difficult for Real Madrid, even this Real Madrid, especially the form they're in and they have some of their own issues.
Real Madrid only had three shots on target in this game.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, two of them were Mbappe, I think, from what I remember seeing.
So it's if Arsenal turn up and play, I would say half as good as they played yesterday, I think they make it through. Real Madrid has to hope Arsenal shows up, you know, and frankly, like Arsenal doesn't have a lot to play for in the league at this point. I know Liverpool just lost over the weekend, but this is really what they're focusing on. If they need to rest players in the weekend, they can. They don't really fucking care at this point, which we'll talk about because that's going to be one of the games we preview in a couple minutes here. So
yeah, that's a good point because Arsenal can rest players in the weekend. That's where they're at. They're, you know, safe in the top four to return to Champions League. And guess what? If Arsenal make a run deep into this tournament and maybe get to the final, Declan Rice might have just justified his 100 million pound price tag, whatever it was, when they brought him in a couple of years ago. With those two goals, could propel them deep into this tournament. Inter, I had them in a parlay, SGP, yesterday. I sent it to you and Nick. It was a Harry Kane shot, which was the easy leg because, you know, FanDuel doesn't restrict the, like, you know, DraftKings lay no more than minus 200 per leg. FanDuel doesn't do that. And then I had Inter double chance because I figured they would play for like a 1-1 result like they tend to do in these matches on the road, and under 3.5. And for a while, it was looking really, really good. And all of a sudden, I look at my phone late. I see Bayern score, and then I saw Fratesi scored, which I'm glad because I didn't want Inter to win as a Serie A fan. But that under 3.5 got really dicey at the end. So I patted myself on the back for not doing the under 2.5 like I originally considered. because I wasn't sure Inter would actually get two goals. I almost cut it at, you know, it's going to be a 1-1 or a 0-0 or a 1-0 or something if they're going to get a result. Came through for me, felt good. The shame of it, I texted Nick Sepper, was like, if Inter had gotten the result against Parma on the weekend, I probably used the draw breaker token on them just because I would have felt pretty good about them playing against Bayern to at least get a draw because of the style they play in matches like this. And I didn't do it because they blew a 2-0 lead to Parma on the weekend. And then, you know, cost myself a plus 285 winner. So that was my one, I guess, thing that I was kicking myself for in the Champions League. Because otherwise, today treated us well. Nick threw a couple parlays between PSG and Barca moneyline in, which is what I ended up playing with one of my boosts I had. And the other one was the over 1.5 team total parlay, which was a similar number. Both of those would have hit. So we did pretty well. I know we didn't get to record because you, Nick, he was traveling. The only, I guess, fear today was PSG gave up the first goal to Villa, and we were a little nervous on that, but PSG came through, and that late goal, I think, Sky's going to be the trouble for Villa, right? If they go 2-1 back to Birmingham, I think, like, they have a chance to make it interesting. I don't know if down 3-1 they have enough firepower and a good enough defense, really, to hold PSG to, like, a 2-0 or something.
No, and I said it before, I think this is PSG's competition at this point to lose. I mean, they're just so dynamic. They're so fast. They run so much. They work so hard in when they're out of possession. And then, you know, the goal, I think their second goal, Kvara's goal today, is like just picturesque of what PSG is at this moment, where they get the ball in their own third. They move it up from right to left through the midfield. It's like one touch passing, gets the ball to Kvara on the run. He makes an incredible, like, you know, fake shot, dummy, whatever, drags it back on his left foot, fires it into the net, like an unbelievable goal. And like, that's exactly what, you know, you have to be afraid of if you're playing PSG, because they can just pull out that quality at that speed, like from nothing. And so it's going to be really tough for Villa, I think, to come back from this one. You know, again, not necessarily done and dusted. Oh, let's put it this way, coach. Which tie do you think has a better chance of flipping around? Do you think the 3-0 Arsenal, Real Madrid tie has a better chance of flipping around, or the 3-1 PSG Villa tie?
Normally you would go with Real Madrid, but because it's 3 goals versus 2 goals, and you know PSG has their own history of tripping up in this competition, I think I would lean Villa, maybe at home, maybe pull a surprise, maybe they catch PSG sleeping a little bit. I think Arsenal's too well, you know, managed right now at this point in terms of their organization and structure. From what we saw yesterday, they were able to dictate play in that match. I don't think either one happens, but I would just say the 2-goal deficit's a little more, not easy to come back from, but doable, so to speak. But I don't think either one does it. And I was just looking at the knockout, and I realized that the next match for PSG would be Arsenal if these things hold. So basically, PSG's gonna have to run through the Premier League three straight rounds. Yeah. And then would either get like a Bayern or an Inter or a Barcelona in the final. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, to me, I think it's going to be a PSG-Barcelona clash, which will be good. I think that would be a very interesting match. Inter, if they can make it through, I think that would be two different styles of play.
Them and Barca, I was going to say, that would be intriguing if they can defend well enough for that long against this Barcelona that can put up 4 goals so quickly like they did today. Because they can hit you. Lautaro did it yesterday, right? They can hit you. But they're not going to go, you know, goal for goal with the Barcelona. They're going to have to defend very well, which is their strength for the most part, but can't count their chickens before they hatch, because Bayern is coming to the San Siro next week, and you can't count Bayern out in a 2-1 match either. That is certainly on paper the most intriguing second leg, just because of the scoreline.
Yeah, so I don't know. I agree. I don't know that either of these are getting flipped around. If gun to my head, though, I think I'd still would have to go with Real Madrid.
Just because they're at the very least,
you know, Arsenal is injured. They still have injury issues. They're not really playing a true nine, and I don't know. As much as it is a 2-goal deficit, I just don't believe in Villa that much.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't really shown to be that capable of a side this season to overturn that kind of a deficit with PSG.
Yeah, that's a good point too. So let's jump into the domestic leagues. We'll cover a couple matches in the Premier League, a couple matches in Serie A. Serie A ones are a little more intriguing in terms of table position, but there's a couple in the Premier League we're going to cover. Starting with the which one was it?
Arsenal Brentford.
Yes, Arsenal Brentford. Interesting one, because this is sandwiched in between the two legs, right? The return legs of all these Champions League are next week. Mm-hmm. Which Arsenal come into this big favorites -170 at home against Brentford. Mm-hmm. So you know, on paper, does it make sense that they're -170 favorites at home against a Brentford side that's sitting down in 12th place? Yes. But with circumstance being what it is, what you just said, like they're safe in the top five, right? Because Premier League's getting five spots. They're 9 points clear of, or 10 points clear of City in sixth. They don't have to win this match. They're not going to catch Liverpool, who they're 11 behind, right? They'll clinch the title pretty soon. I mean, you got to kind of rest anybody you find important against Brentford, I'd say, and just prepare for Real Madrid. Make sure you have everybody fit because of the injuries they already have, I think. So where do you see this going? I mean, Brentford's plus 450 on the money line, plus 310 on the draw, no bet. I got to pull up the double chance. It's on another tab, but I'm sure that's a pretty solid number as well at this point. Like,
yeah,
where do you go with this?
I think Arsenal is because they're getting slightly healthier in their attack with Saka being back and how important he's been to their team, you know, past couple seasons. I think they're getting a little bit of a favoritism bump from the books. Their league form, they're at least, you know, undefeated in their past couple of matches. They've still been dropping points with draws here and there, but you know, no major losses to speak of. And I think the last time they lost was way back in February against West Ham. That's kind of like the you know, the beginning of the end of their title charge. So I think Brentford plus one, that -130 is
that's
definitely
what I was just looking
here.
At. Yep.
You know, even when they're winning, you know, they're not blowing teams out. Their wins are 1-0 against Chelsea, 2-1 versus Fulham, right? So I think in the league, a one goal cushion is pretty nice here. I also like both teams to score at -130. Again,
yep.
Defense hasn't been great. Just to be, you know, just to start, losing Gabriel, probably their most important center half for the season, doesn't help. And we know Brentford likes to score. So I like both teams to score also at -130 in this one. I don't know that I would go so far to say I think this is a high scoring affair. Like, I don't think this is gonna be like a 4 or 5 goal thing. You might get a two goal, you know, from one of these teams, but I think those are my favorites right now. It's -130, not, you know, huge payout, but I really like both picks. Brentford +1, it feels very safe to me.
Yeah, that was the first one that I went to right after I read off the money lines and everything else to you, and you started talking. I went there and I saw -130 right before you said it, and I agree. I think the +1 for Brentford. They haven't lost by multiple goals since Tottenham back on February 2nd, which is about 8 match days ago. So they do keep it close. They generally tend to score for the most part. They scored on Arsenal the first time around in a 3-1 loss. And I think you're right. If Arsenal's up 1-0 or if it's 1-1 and it's getting late, and they're not going to push for anything unless there's some hungry sub who comes in, they call up some like younger player or something. I don't think many of these regular first team players that they play are going to go for it too hard and push anything that they don't need to push. You know, they're going to want to keep their 8 match unbeaten streak alive, which I think is very suitable for them, a 1-1 or a 1-0, and they call it a day. And at the worst, you push there if that's the way it plays out. Both teams to score, I think, is also a solid pick, because Brentford, I think, is obviously, you know, the target's on Arsenal's back here, going to try to come in and score a goal. But I think my favorite would be the -130, just getting that goal protection. I don't think Arsenal pushes that hard for a multiple goal win.
No. Yeah, it's going to be a mix of like that. If Nick was here, he'd be saying there's a look ahead and there's also a bit of like a hangover coming too, right?
Yeah.
Because they had this
right. You just played so well. Yeah.
It's like a perfect storm. You know, so I definitely like the -130. Honestly, if you really wanted to get crazy, you could do the -130 and then even go draw no bet at +310.
Yeah.
Try and pick something off here.
Yeah. And then if they get the draw, you get a push and you get an even, you know,
yeah, a win, you get a double win. You know, if it's a draw, you get your +1. And if they lose by one, you get all your money back. You're good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. The other one we pegged was Newcastle hosting United, Manchester United. It's Newcastle -140 in the money line at home, United +340 on the road. Draw no bet for United +230. You know, United has had their issues this year. They did get the draw against City this past week, 0-0. Maybe speaks more to the struggles of City than it does to United. That's like a positive result for United at 0-0. What do you think they do here at Newcastle? Tough place to play. Tyneside is not easy.
Not a good. I don't think United have a good chance here. Manchester United. This feels very much Newcastle. I think the play that I'm playing on this is going to be Newcastle money line and over 1.5 total. It's -105. Newcastle have scored two goals or more in four of their last five meetings against Manchester United. So I think they can get there on their own. Their team total over 1.5 is -170, just for just to give you a little context. So yeah. I think there's going to be a couple Newcastle goals in this. I don't know. Maybe United can get one, but it's not going to be enough by any means. So I think the right way to attack this is kind of doing one of those same game parlays with Newcastle winning and getting at least over 1.5. If you want to go over 2.5, by all means, but -105 is a solid number for me.
Yeah, I think that's a solid one. I also don't mind Newcastle first half as another a small play at +115. They hit them twice early in the reverse leg in a 2-0 win at Old Trafford. Like you said, they score multiple goals often. Isak's been hot. They've won four in a row. They've scored in five straight against United. So all those things point to maybe they come out early, try to hit United. I mean, it's at home. So I do like the over 1.5 parlay with the money line. I do think they win this match. I think we see multiple goals. And just looking at that Newcastle first half money line, I do like that as well.
So there's also a potential cards game, I think. I think United get a lot of cards against Newcastle. They're averaging like a little over three cards per game in their last five meetings. So I think this is definitely one where on the road, you know, got guys like Bruno Fernandes that can get a little feisty. Newcastle's a very tough place to play with their home crowd. I think that can get them a little riled up. So keep that, you know, in the tickler file. There's no card props up right now, but without Nick, I'd be remiss to say if cards might be an interesting play here.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to point out in Premier League before we jump over to Serie A, Scott?
Not too much. Like I said, the matchups really aren't that great this weekend. A lot of heavy numbers. Forest at home against Everton +115. That might be worth a play. Forest's form has been okay. And I think Everton are cooling off a little bit. Otherwise, yeah, if you really want to take a road dog, Crystal Palace on the road against City +475. Crystal Palace, always been a bogey team for City, even when City's been like a real City under Pep. So that one you might want to take a peek at +475 on the money line, or if you really want to go draw no bet, it's +350.
Yeah, I think Forest that plus money at home, definitely worth a look. Fulham coming off that big win against your boys last week. They got a pretty big number on the road. I just saw at where they go, Bournemouth. Bournemouth has kind of cooled a bit. Could be worth maybe a draw no bet or double chance if the number's right, but I like the ones we gave out, and I think I like the Forest one. I probably end up hopefully if I do go money line, they come through for us. All right, jumping over to Italy, before we go get into the two matches we're going to cover, I just want to, you know, talk about the futures for a quick minute, because the Serie A table, unlike the Premier League, is wide open right now in a lot of different ways. Top of the table right now, Inter is up by 3 on Napoli. It feels like they're up by more, but they're not. It's only 3. Interestingly, the futures, though, they love Inter still at -400, Napoli +250. I'm not a big believer in Napoli. I know you're not. I wouldn't take them at +250. They'd have to be a bigger number than that for me, even with it a 3-point gap. But Inter's got Champions League, so that's just something to keep an eye on, how the form goes, and if something happens this weekend, it gets closer. How much do the books change that? Are they still a plus money value play? We'll see. The real interesting one is top four. Right now, heading into this weekend, where we have Atalanta in third, 58 points. Bologna, 57 points in fourth. Juve, 56 in fifth. Lazio, 55 in sixth. Roma, 53 in seventh. So 5 points separating third and seventh. And then there's Fiorentina in eighth on 52. So in theory, you know, everybody from 3 through 8 is in the mix. Is Fiorentina? I don't know. We'll see. They're still juggling Conference League too. I just don't know if they're that, you know, good enough. But they're hanging around. Roma's hanging around with their late charge here. You know, the Derby's going to be huge this weekend. But just to go through the future numbers real quick, Atalanta is a huge favorite still to hold on to their spot at -650. That could change, I think, drastically if they lose this weekend against Bologna. Juve, the other favorite at -200. Then you have Bologna +250, Lazio +350, Fiorentina, Roma both +1600. There's numbers there.
There are.
If you think... Even Bologna +250, I think, is not a bad play. If they, you'd have to lock it in this weekend before the match to keep that value. But if they go and they win at Atalanta, all of a sudden that plus 250 looks really good.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not surprised that you didn't call out your club here, but Roma at plus 1600.
Well, I'm going to say they were plus, I'm going to tell you, Scott, they were plus, at the end of February, plus 10,000. They were.
Did you, you didn't even drop like a couple bucks on that?
Oh, I did.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I did. Is it going to hit? Probably not. It felt like I was buying a lotto ticket, right?
Yeah. I think the only downside for Roma is their closing fixture list is a little bit difficult. They obviously have Lazio this weekend, a little bit of a break with Verona after that, but then you have Inter, Fiorentina, Atalanta, yep. Milan, and closing at Torino.
Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, if you get there, you've earned it, right? There's no doubt. But, you know, compare that to, and I know you said that I don't like Napoli, and that is usually fair. I kind of explained myself to Dom on Twitter last week, but looking at their fixture list, it's like the exact opposite. They don't play, like, Torino is the best team that they play in their last few games. And Inter still have a couple. You know, they still have Lazio, they still have Roma.
Champions League,
you know, and it's not like a, you know, Serie A has never been one of those leagues where you see a team that's at the top of the table finish out with like seven consecutive wins. There's going to be drop points here and there. Napoli, if they can just take care of business, that there's fixture list. Yeah. It's not hard. Let me pull it up because I read it off to you guys earlier. But it's you know, Napoli play Empoli, and they play Monza, and then Torino, Lecce, Genoa, Parma, and Calgary.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that I could see getting in their way is if Lecce and Parma are really desperate, maybe they can nick a point off them because those two are fighting relegation. Empoli's the same kind of boat. But Napoli should, in theory, handle all those fixtures pretty easily. Maybe Torino, you know, can fight them a little bit. But yeah, I should have looked at the fixture list before I said I didn't believe, because that is a cupcake fixture list, as they, you know, use in college sports here in the U.S. when a team plays like a much smaller school that's much overmatched. Like, that's
strength
what it feels
schedule.
Like.
Very weak.
Very weak.
And again, like, for me, it's just they just have to take care of business. There's no like crazy results they have to get. And honestly, yeah, I think even with, you know, a slip up against one of these relegation clubs on the road,
yeah,
I think it's still very doable. Like, I don't think, you know, Inter are going to run through this table with whatever, what time you get matches left? 8. They're not going to go 7 wins and a draw. You know, there's going to be, you know, a couple losses here, maybe a draw there, here and there. So it's very much, I think, in grasp for Napoli. But if Inter run that table and they do it, then they've earned it. So tip your cap.
Yeah, it's not a bad point. Maybe the plus 250 is worth a play if you believe in Napoli, but just because of the fixture list. I think the same with Bologna at plus 250 is a solid play, because if things go right for them this weekend, I think you see that drop drastically. Now, if it goes wrong, you're probably making a donation to the book at that point, but you know, with 2 top 4 spots open, it becomes very, very doable for some of these sides. And the relegation battle, Monza is not even listed here to be relegated. I think they might officially be relegated already. Venezia is minus 500. Those two are pretty much guaranteed to go down. You know, Monza is on 12 points with 7 matches left, or 15 points. So the most they could get is another 21 points. So yeah, that's why the books aren't even listing them, because they'd have to make up a big gap against a bunch of teams. Venezia is on 21, Empoli 24, Lecce 26, Parma 27, Cagliari 30. The books have it as Venezia minus 500. Then it's plus money and everybody else to be relegated. Lecce is even money. Parma's plus 150. Empoli is plus 150. Cagliari is plus 2200, and so on and so forth. Some of the other sides that are not officially, you know, clear, but for all intents and purposes are. I look at Empoli at plus 150. That would probably be my play. I'm not necessarily playing a plus 150 future on a relegation battle, but I think Lecce and Parma have just a little bit more, which is why I think I'm surprised Lecce is actually the favorite to go down in some ways. I think they're a little tougher on the road, but Parma got a big point against Inter this weekend, a very unexpected point, which is helping them out a little bit, but it's going to come down to those three. Just something to keep an eye on. We'll see if those lines move. But interesting battles all across the Serie A table, which is why I want to start there. So we'll save the Derby, Scott.
Yeah.
But the other big one is, like I mentioned, Bologna and Atalanta. This is just as important of a match in terms of table position. Unfortunately for us on the East Coast, it's a 6:30 a.m. kick in Bergamo, which is, you know, the lunchtime kick in Italy. Atalanta minus 110, Bologna plus 260, draw line plus 240. Atalanta has been scuffling a bit lately. They have not been, really crushing it, which is why they've kind of gotten dragged back into this top four race where they looked safe for a long time. They were kind of in the title mix for a little bit there with Napoli and Inter. They've lost three straight. Bologna, no losses in seven. And get this, Atalanta, no goals scored in three straight matches. And they haven't kept a clean sheet as well. They've become an under team in 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
Which is not like them.
No. And it's this specific matchup too. It's not a matchup where Atalanta have come out of the gates and scored in bunches, yeah. Right? I'm looking through the list. They haven't scored more than one goal against them since September of 2023. In their last six games, five of them, they scored one or fewer goals.
Yeah, lost the Copa match in February, 1-0, 1-1 draw at Bologna, with Bologna having a red card in that match in September. Atalanta actually was down a man, down a goal, but up a man, and it took a 90th minute Samardzija goal to even salvage a point the first time around. They were playing down a man since about the 50th minute, Bologna. So history hasn't been good for them here. I know as a Roma fan, what I'd like in this match is the draw, because I'd like to see both teams drop points. I don't know.
I think that the question here is, do you believe in Bologna enough to just go ahead and take them double chance at minus 120? Because I think that's really
I think that
feels like the play.
Yeah, it feels like it.
I don't love either team coming into this, even with, Bologna's form being significantly better than Atalanta's, but it just feels like on the road, Bologna getting a double chance when Atalanta's desperate,
they have to be.
And Nate and I said this last week, Atalanta, we thought that was going to be a bounce back week for them, for Lazio, where Lazio felt more of like a spiral. I was wrong. Lazio managed to kind of right the ship a little bit, and Atalanta continued to bounce, continue to go down. I don't know if this is quite a must win game. They are still sitting in third place, even with a, tightly contested race for top four.
If they lose though, Bologna jumps them. And if Juve wins their match, Juve jumps them. And then all of a sudden they're fifth.
And there's still six games or whatever left. Right. Yeah. So there's still plenty of time to turn around. So I can't quite make this a must win game, but like it would do wonders for them to get 3 points here.
Yeah.
It would do wonders for them.
Their fixture list isn't easy after this. It's Milan away, which, Milan's down, but still tough to go to San Siro. Then it's Lecce, who's going to be desperate. Monza, who stinks. Roma, Genoa, and then Parma the last weekend, who could be fighting relegation themselves. And is the fight for relegation stronger than, the fight, for salvation, stronger than the fight to maybe maintain a top four spot the last week of the season when you have a desperate group of players? So,
I think, we last pod, we talked about taking some shots on 1-1 draw lines. I think we hit 2 out of 3. If you're going to try doing that again this weekend, this isn't a bad place to do it. Both teams, both capable of scoring. We've read through their history. They're all right in that 1-1 area code. So 1-1 is plus 425. Why not? I think that might be the way that I play it. Because, again, I don't love Bologna enough to, really just take them double chance at minus whatever. And at the same time, with Atalanta's form, it's hard to just take the money line at minus 110.
Yeah, the other play I think I might toy around with, too. I know I've been collecting a lot of free bets on DraftKings for not hitting home run hitters. They've been doing that $5 a day promo, and I've been just collecting $5. And I hit a couple goal scorers with them last weekend. The one I really like this weekend, just in the matches we've been talking about, Ricardo Orsolini right now, plus 340 to score. He has been scintillating form. He's been killing it. Scored last weekend. I know Nick was kicking himself for not taking him because that's his boy. But I know he likes a certain number. When it's not a striker, he likes a number to be, I think he says like plus 250 or somewhere in that range. And he was like around 200 or 180 or something when they were playing last weekend. Scored the goal, or it might have been, was it last week? Yeah, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago. It might have been 2 weekends ago, or the Copa or something, because they played Napoli last week. But they're hot. He's been great. So that's one I might sprinkle something on. I'm not saying put a big play. I don't generally endorse big plays on goal scorers, because unless they're a striker, because it's so hit or miss. So that's why he's plus 340. But he's having a great year, and I think he is worth a look. I think, he has been extra motivated by not being called up by the Italian national team for the last international window. Guys like Politano getting called over him. He's got 11 goals in a season in Serie A for a guy who's more of a winger. So definitely something to keep an eye on. 11 goals, 3 assists. You might even want to look at a goal or assist prop there with him. So Just another something I think I will be at least sprinkling on the weekend.
John, you got a Bologna draw no bet at +170. Yeah, I think again, if you're of the mind that Bologna's coming in here and they're going to play Atalanta well, +170 might be the number. At least that gives you a little bit of, you know, extra payout if they can get the win.
Yeah, I mean, I play a draw no bet a lot of the time over double chance because you get the better number, and you know, you just take your money back if it draws and you're happy with it, rather than taking like a -140 payout sometimes or something. Yeah. And then there's times that it ends up backfiring because you take a draw no bet and the team ends up losing. But I don't see Atalanta playing well enough right now to be afraid to take Bologna with the protection, I think, of a draw no bet or a double chance.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to the big one on Sunday, 2:45 Eastern time here in the United States. It is the Derby della Capitale. I wish Nick was here so we could have had both perspectives on this one. Now Lazio plays tomorrow morning, afternoon, I guess, our time. They're going to Bodo Glimt, team famous for doing damage to another Roman side a couple of years ago. Lazio is still pretty big favorites there. I expect them to take care of business, but hopefully a little fatigue sets in from my perspective, having to play Thursday and travel from Norway. This one, Lazio is the designated home side. They're +165. Roma +155 is the road side, who's below them in the table, which is interesting. And then the draw line +210. The derby is always unpredictable, as most derbies can tend to be. And, you know, Roma took care of business the first time around when they were in terrible form. So this time, Lazio comes in with a big win last week against Atalanta. Very unexpected. But at the same time, they've been scuffling a little bit more compared to Roma of late. So it adds that dynamic. And it, you know, Roma's won back-to-back derbies. I was saying this on the Roma pod I'm on. Like, no team's won three in a row. I was scrolling back. It's been a while since anybody won three derbies in a row. It's almost like, not exactly like in the NFL when you play a team in the playoffs for the third time. It's hard to beat them three times, they say. But, you know, that's kind of how it, like, these runs go in the derby. It takes, you know, you get a wonky draw, or the team like Roma, who was playing terrible, gets a 2-0 win against Lazio in the fall, or actually it was January. I keep forgetting it was so late in the calendar. But I think the key here for either side is to get the first goal. We saw it in the reverse fixture, right? Roma scored, Pellegrini hit in the 11th minute, and then Salamakers hit 7 minutes later, and Roma just withstood pressure, and held out.
Coach, I'm going to correct you here. The important thing is to just get a goal. Both teams to score hasn't hit in their last 10 matchups. Last time it hit was January 26th, 2020, pre-COVID. COVID hadn't even hit yet.
Yeah.
And that's that wild. Number right now, by the way, if you want to play both teams to score, no, it's sitting at -105 right there for you. Which I, you know, 10 in a row is crazy.
That's crazy.
I feel like that's worth a shot. Nick might say it's you're due and go the other way, but I don't know. I get it. You know, both teams have historically.
I think you missed one, Scott. It was actually September 20 of 21, but still a while ago. Yeah, it was the 3-2. That was a 3-2, like, actually exciting derby.
One of their last 10.
Yeah,
that actually makes me feel a little bit better then. So I feel pretty good about that now. -105, both teams to score. No, that might be my play if I'm picking a team. I don't know how I'm going against Roma draw no bet right now. I think it's sitting -110. Is that what you have?
A solid number.
-120, -110. Yeah. Probably can find it for similar. I don't know. I get there on the road, as you say, but
yeah,
Lazio,
same stadium.
They feel like they're spiraling now. I thought, you know, they got the bounce back against Atalanta. So let me back that up. I thought they were spiraling. They got the win against Atalanta. I don't know if Thursday's result is going to be, you know, key to this. You know, if they get a win, do they come in with more confidence? If they lose, you know, do they have a little bit of a you know, concern about if the game against Atalanta was maybe an aberration? But I don't know. It's Roma just feels like one of the hotter teams in all of Europe right now. And it's hard for me to go against them on a draw no bet when it's basically even money.
Yeah, I think that would be my play. Obviously, I'm biased, so hearing you say it makes me feel a little less biased about it. But if I'm getting Roma at -120 in the draw no bet in this type of match, that's probably what I'm going to take.
Roma clean sheet is +215.
they've been
it's worth a little bit.
Juve scored last week, but it took a really nice goal from Locatelli to score. Otherwise, Roma was pretty solid. Villar made a couple good saves. I said on the other pod, he's not quite Alisson, but he's pushing that. Like, what he's done for them this year is similar to what Alisson did for them in that season where they made the deep Champions League, where he saves games for them. And yeah, so, I mean, will they keep a clean sheet? I don't know. They did in the fall when they were in much worse form, so it's not a terrible play, I don't think. It's one that you have to expect to possibly lose and, you know, very likely lose, but then if it hits, you feel really smart about it, and you get a nice little payout. But yeah, this has been an under fixture, 6 out of 6, but that's at -145, so I don't think that's very playable.
Nah.
So yeah, I think the draw no bet either way, if you like a side better than the other, would be the play where you find a little bit of value. Lazio -110, Roma -120. And then the draw could always be in play too, right? I think this is a match where the draw could be in play. Like we said with some of these other matches.
Yeah. I mean, I know I just said I'm taking both teams to score. No, at -105. But yeah, even look at this. The 1-1 draw +370. Yeah. So
your mind went where my mind went.
It's that's tough. That's borderline not playable, to be honest with you. Too bad.
Yeah.
But I think Roma get it done. I think either way, they're going to come away at 3.
I hope so. I hope I come back next week and Roma's ahead of Lazio on the table. Atalanta or Bologna or both has dropped points, and Roma is starting to sneak their way back into that top four race, and it gets really interesting. But, you know, that's me being hopeful after Roma's been playing so well and kind of building up my hopes. I'd, you know, go through that cycle where they build you up and then they knock you down a little bit, but we'll see where this one goes. But I have to say, from a Roma perspective, derbies are always exciting, but I think this is the most anticipation I've had for one in a while because it means so much on the table.
Yeah, for sure.
So, other than that, just take a quick rundown if there's anything that jumps out at me right away. I don't trust Milan, so even though they're -110, I would not touch it. And then you go through and it's like a lot of lopsided numbers. If Fiorentina was, and the thing is Fiorentina plays tomorrow as well, which is why at -145, even against Parma, I don't know if I would go there because I don't know if fatigue is going to play a factor or whatnot.
There's nothing
jumps out at me just going through the quick money lines and stuff. You have to look at some totals, get creative, maybe see if there's a goal scorer that jumps out. But
Nick's not here. Lance. I think Nick would take Como -110 at home against Torino. I feel like that would be a very Nick like pick. So
yeah,
we'll say that was
what I would. I just want to see real quick, what is the over line in this Milan match? Is -120 for the over on Friday at Udinese can score at times. I would not mind that over there possibly. I think that would be a play I would consider, especially it's a Friday, there's no other action. I want to kick off the weekend with something to keep us entertained. I think that's where I would go with it.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So thanks for joining us. Good to be back here. And hopefully we gave out some winners. Last week, I listened to the episode. You guys killed it. Gave it a lot of winners. Nate did too. And we're going to try to do the same here. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next week.